covers. To give you some idea, the variety could start in the morning from a packet of pins, and you would handle everything from a pin to an elephant in the same day's work. You see, we were the outlet for the whole of the industries in this country. And whatever goods were manufactured came via the dock for export. Now, the essence of proficiency in the dock, we were all piecework. Now, you could have a lovely team of good labourers, workmen underneath you, but if you hadn't got a good crane driver, then everybody suffered. So you had to be of some extreme capable to get jobs in the better gangs. I was the first crane driver ever to land over 1,800 of butter in one day from one gang. I also landed 500 ton of flour in one day as a gang. Now, these were extreme quantities. But I must be fair and say that when it comes to the butter job, that record of mine was broken twice in the same week, because the other crane drivers, all decided to have a go, and they beat it by 100 or two here and there, you know. So that's what happens. It's a great competitive world, you know. But it was crane driving at its best. There's no doubt about it. Now, I used to, in the main, drive for the New Zealand Shipping Company. And to me, it was like throwing darts. I could pick the bacon up, and I could throw it from the barge, round and over the quay, up the top of the building, and down through their loophole in one go. And of course, the speed was fantastic. And many a time, the foreman in charge of the gang that I was driving for, whilst they were delighted, you know, that they was getting such a supply, often came to me and said, "Oh, we've got to stop. And he'd stop the job for a quarter of an hour. So they didn't murder the rate, because the rate was such where you could earn this fabulous money. But providing they'd done 2,000 plus, they were content. I could have done 5,000.
But of course, if you'd done 5,000, the rate would...
The rate would cut immediately. I mean, there was quite always this feeling, and there was always this observation by the companies. If they thought they was got a rate that had been fixed too high, they'd call the unions in and say, look, you know. And they had the paperwork to prove that this quantity was being done. And of course, the union could only agree to the effect that whilst the men worked hard to achieve it, the rate was pretty generous. So that's how we used to sort of regulate the quantities to maintain the rates being paid. Anyway, we got our official two breaks by coming down. But the evening one, we used to swing a bottle in the window. They used to put our tea in a milk bottle. They used to tie rope round the top or string, put a loop on the crane hook, and they say, right, and you take it up, and now you swing it, and you'd have to judge it so that the bottle comes to the window and you could take it off without breaking the window. That's how we used to do it.
Well, I was, my father was a lighterman. He worked for Union Lightridge. And they used to go make money by dredging for coal, and that was seemed to be a fiddle, because although they actually dredged off the gasworks for it, they used to actually feed it out of coal barges as well. And it was a noted thing, all right, and I tell you, when you went up Bow Creek, that every child, every youngster would throw stones at you. No, for well, you only could throw one thing back, and that was the coal you had in the barges. And so it was a real sort of a tea leaf paradise.
Boys drowned, did drown around the cut. Got a snaggy snake underneath a barge. and a barge being a flat bottom, the kids will try and get out. Well, what you've got to do is to dive down, and whichever way you're going, keep swimming. But people panic under there, go backwards. One, like, I'm going to tell you better than me, and people panic, go backwards or forwards. If you keep going the way you're going to go, you're going to come up. But quite a few boys were drowning in a cut, so that was one other place that we was never allowed to play.
You, one was towed about the, mainly on the main river, but of course when you got into docks or up creeks, talk about being without the paddle, well of course if you were up the creek without the paddle it would be not much use, unless you got on the bank and pulled the barge along with the line over your shoulder, which is done, which I've done quite often. But on the, in the docks, for example, the tug would drop the lighter, loaded, shall we say, at King George Dock, and you'd be locked in with all the other barges that were going in. And supposing you were making your way, just for sake of example, to a ship that was going to, say, West Africa, which might be halfway up King George Dock, well, you had to get the barge there, so you used what equipment you had, which consisted of a decent length of line, a hitcher, a boat hook, a long, big boat hook, not a small one, with a great big hook and spike on the end of it, and sweeps, two sweeps, so that you could, so long as the wind again wasn't against you, either row, pull, or poke, a common term, the use of a hitcher, which meant that you'd put the spike up against another barge's combing, hatch combing, something like that, and put your shoulder, you're standing on your barge, put your shoulder into the end of the pole and push your barge up the dock. Or you'd even learn to lasso. That was quite fun. The idea was that you'd stand in a certain position and throw a line onto a bollard, which was perhaps 20 or 30 feet ahead of you, so that you could pull the barge along on that.
But of course, if you're on a tug, well then you're working solidly for 24 hours. But a lot of people like that. They like tugging. And generally the people that went in the tugs did stay in the tugs. They never ever came out again onto the craft. You know, they enjoyed tugging and they liked to set routine and life, I suppose. But majority of lightermen, that's exactly what they didn't like. They liked a life where they didn't know where they was going to go the next day, and or what time they was going to finish work, come to that. And it suited us, you know. It was nothing like, not that I've ever worked in a factory, but I mean, knowing from what people tell me, I mean, you sort of stand at a machine and it's a rigid regime. Well, it's nothing like that on the river, you know. You sort of, every day is different. You're somewhere different every day and something happens different every day. You go in a different pub every day and have a drink with someone different every day. It's just that type of trade, you see, and a very interesting life, all in all.
You always seem to be hanging about. That's another thing that was bad about being on lighters. You always seem to be hanging about, waiting, either waiting for the tug, waiting for the dock, waiting for the ship, waiting for the stevedore to say that he wanted your barge with your cargo in it. There's an awful lot of waiting about, which of course can become very debilitating, really, in a way, unless you've got some other ideas. And of course, one of my ideas was I'd carry books around with me, and then I'd have a good old read about this, that, and all the other.
Well, we've all gone our various ways. I mean, I finished up working in security. A lot of them went cabin. That was the thing they turned to, taxiing. And they done the knowledge for 2 years and finished up cabin. And I think that probably appeals to lightermen, because it's once again a trade where you please yourself. If you want to go work, you go work, and if you don't, you don't.